Okay, we are starting at the very top of Nun Hei Amud Aleph. We discussed yesterday in the Mishnah came up this Tumah of Eretz Ha'amim, right? That the Tumah in Chutz La'aretz is Metame, that Chutz La'aretz itself is Metame. And we had a discussion there about whether Eretz Ha'amim is Metame Mishum Gusha or Mishum Avira. What does that mean? Is it that we're concerned that there's tuma in the ground? So first of all, they bring up, it could be from the Meteh HaMabul, or it could be from, just randomly there's Jewish graves around. And therefore they say that the tuma is, there's a problem of tuma there, so therefore you can't be in Chutz La'aretz. What would be the nafka min of saying that, though? That if you were in a teva, Shida or Migdal, that you were in this area where it basically created a tent that would protect you from the tumah. Right. It would be chutzetz b'fnei tumah, they call it. Then you'd be allowed to. So if you're carried in a box through chutz la'aretz, then no problem.
Chutz la'aretz is rather large.
Yes, chutz la'aretz is rather large. Yes. So, right. Well, we'll see that the Gemara says, it's also lo shachiach to be in a box or, something like that. Although it could be, we're going to see, maybe you're in a caron, in a caravan,
You have to be in for your whole life.
Right, yes. So it would be, let's say you pass through in a train or something. But then there's a question with a train, I guess it's the same as the airplane question, which is that the matechet, the metal, is mekabel tuma, and therefore it's anything that's mekabel tuma can't be chotzeitz v'fnei tuma. So it'd have to be something made of wood or something. It wouldn't be mekabel tuma. And then, once you have something that's mekabel tuma, so an airplane, the whole issue with the airplanes going overhead, going over cemeteries, which isn't even an issue of chutz la'aretz, it's also here. The people say that possibly there's a problem with airplanes going over.
Yeah, so they have body bags for...
What?
So they have body bags
for... You're talking about if there's someone in the airplane.
For people in the airplane.
I'm talking about, not if there's a dead body in the airplane. I'm talking about...
No.
What?
Oh. They have bags that the Haredim put over themselves.
Oh, really?
When they're exiting Israel.
Body bags? Okay, I've never seen that.
I don't want to see that.
They cover themselves in something.
They cover themselves as chutzetz. Interesting. Right. So the airplane itself is not chutzetz. So first of all, one of the interpretations I heard that's very interesting is that one possibility to say it's okay to actually, what's the issue? That you're going up in the air, and we say tumo la lashamayim, and therefore if there's graves underneath, the tumo goes all the way up. The airplane is not chotzeitz b'fnei tuma; it doesn't block the tuma. So therefore, the tuma gets into the airplane, into the person, and therefore, Cohen might have an issue going over a cemetery, up in the air. So one of the possible explanations to why it maybe would be okay, there's a machloket about whether it's okay or not okay. One of the answers, some planes are rerouted for this reason. Okay, sometimes they... So one of the answers given is that while tuma is oleh larakia, the isra of a Cohen to be metameh does not apply so high up. Because the whole issue is that you shouldn't be mitkarev to the body. And there's no kirva. In other words, there might be technical tuma, but it might not actually be a problem for the Kohen. Because the issue of the Kohen is so he doesn't get close. And when he's so far up and you're in a different realm, then already it wouldn't be an issue. Anyway, it's an interesting answer.
Could clouds... Chutzetz, or is that just not
really, I don't think
because
so.
They're pretty porous?
Right, probably, exactly.
But there's something.
So that's the Mishum Gusha option. The other option is a very interesting one, which is it's Mishtam and Mishum Avira, which means that it has nothing to do with Tuma, technical Tuma. It's at the airspace of Eretz Ha'amim. Chachamim, remember, this is all Gzeirat Chachamim. Chachamim were Gozer, that is Mitame. Why? Because they didn't want people to go to Chutz La'aretz. Okay? It's Kohanim. In other words, they wanted to, or not just Kohanim, what's the issue? They wanted to make it a headache for people, for anybody. If you go to Chutz La'aretz, you become Tameh, and then you have to be Mitaher, and it's a whole big Balagan headache, and therefore you wouldn't want to bother, right? It was a way of discouraging people, and maybe also just saying that it's Tameh gives people this negative feeling about Chutz La'aretz, and it would be a big way of discouraging people not to go. Okay? Now, what's really interesting about this is that the Rambam paskins that Kohanim are not allowed to go to Chutz La'aretz based on this. Okay? And are not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Chutz La'aretz. So, and the Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam. Okay, now we know lots of Kohanim who live in Chutz La'aretz, go to Chutz La'aretz, so what is this? So the Shach and the Taz both say, let's see if I remember because I think I left my notes over there, but the Shach and the Taz both say, you can look on the table, but the Shach and the Taz both say that it doesn't apply nowadays because nowadays we are, everyone's Tameh. Anyway. In other words, there's no, the whole Tumah thing is much less relevant. If you don't see it, don't worry about it. Hopefully I'll remember. The whole Tumah thing, oh, you found it, maybe? Yeah, I think that's it. Okay, so they say it's just not relevant. Bizman Azeh, there's no paraduma of, you know, Israel's betuma anyway, so it's not relevant. Rabbi Kiva Eger suggests that maybe he doesn't really understand that answer, and he suggests that maybe it has to do with the fact that there's a parnasa issue. You know, think about it, people couldn't make a living here, right, way back. You know, we're talking Rabbi Kiva Eger's like probably 150 years. I don't remember exactly when he lived. But, you know, it wasn't so very easy to live here, and maybe it's a parnasa issue because of that. The Minchas Chinuch makes a nice distinction, which is there's a difference between being born or moving there. In other words, if you're born there, so you're born there. But the issue of the Rambam, he specifically darshens the lashon of the Rambam, he says, latzeit. You're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael to go there. But if you were born there, then, you know, it's not the same. Which obviously, you know, doesn't explain how people, right, could leave Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, the Shach and the Taz seem to have the most basic reason of
see,
it being just not
being
relevant today.
Non-specific. Meaning, if you're saying that their Tumah, the reason why they said it was Tumah Eretz Yisrael was just to prevent people making a headache for them,
right,
and not very precise that
right,
it really is Tumah, then when you can find a reason why you can go to Chutz La'aretz, you're going to confuse people with when it is real Tumah. Because if you're saying go to Chutz La'aretz, then I could be go to Big for a tier, and I can...
But they're so careful about people not getting confused.
It blurs right, lines
right,
that...
Well, that's... Look, it's
that's
part
the
of the reason why it's good to know what the reasons are for things, because if you don't understand, then you'll really confuse
right,
things, and that in general, we see it happen
we've
all
seen,
the time.
We've seen instances, you know, over the last 3 years where they're always saying, well... We need to be extra strict because Amharis isn't going to get the distinction.
Right.
They're, all the time they're
right,
saying people aren't going to understand.
Right. Although you could take it the flip side, which is when you're machmir too much, and then on certain chumras you see people are mekel about them,
exactly,
and then you think it's you blur the lines between halacha and chumra,
right,
then it also creates. All this stuff creates confusion, and it's part of what the Gemara always struggles with, as Ruth is saying, which is how do we have a law for the basic, you know, everyday people who might get confused? But in the end, you have a system, and the system always has problems. And that's just the way it works, that people confuse things, and people will take it to different places, and people will lie because of it. You know, this it's a problem with the system. Any system has these kinks in them. And that's part of what the Gemara is always trying to work out. They don't always succeed in working them out, but they, you know, it's part of one of the underlying themes of how to create a halachic system, which is how do we do it so that people don't get confused, that they understand, but you're right. And here, the problem is also they don't know, right? So you're saying the problem is why did they make this gzeira without making it clear what they were intending?
You're saying that they want to make it difficult for people that they should.
Right.
That's dangerous.
Right, right. So that's the whole thing. If you're machmir, sometimes it creates problems because then it becomes unclear and the distinctions get blurred. Sometimes they just don't, you know, often you have it in halacha where some chumrah or gzeira appears, like kitnia, right? Nobody knows where it came from. And the only discussions you have about it are later. It's the same thing here. It's, they made a gzera and nobody knows why. So everybody, you know, they're saying, is it gusha? Is it avira? We're going to have a whole sugya today to try to just, you know, prove what, or to try to, you know, say, maybe it's this, maybe it's that. Okay. So now, right, one thing they brought up, if you remember from yesterday, was it says here in the Mishnah that you have to do haza'ah, shlishi and shvi'it. So it must mean that it's mishum gusha and there's real tumah, and therefore you have to do haza'ah. But then they said, no, it could be the haza'ah is talking about all the other cases and not the Eretz Ha'amim case, and therefore it doesn't prove anything. So now they say, lema kitanai, okay, starting at the top of Nun Hamad Aleph. Maybe it's a machloket tana'im. Here's a machloket tana'im. Hanichnas la'eretz ha'amim b'shida teva u'migdal. Let's say you go to Chutz La'aretz, in this case, right, you go in a box or in a chest or in a, right, the, what?
Closet.
Okay, or in a tower. Rebbe Mitame, how do they translate Migdal? It's not exactly a tower. Oh, that's the closet. So what's the difference between Shida and Teval, a chest and a box?
Yeah,
okay.
Carriage, trunk, or closet.
Carriage? Okay.
It's pretty vague.
Right.
Something
okay, so Rebbe Mitame, Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Yehuda Mitahir. My love, is it not the Rebbe who's metame savar mishum avira? He says you're metame because you're in the airspace, and therefore it doesn't matter. It's just that we didn't want you to go chutz la'aretz. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda savar mishum gushta. No, it's because there's real tumah, and that's why you're tahor. So then they say lo. No, you don't necessarily have to say that. You could say de kule alma mishum gusha. Everyone agrees that it's real tumah. And so then the question is, why wouldn't the Shidate Val Midal protect you, according to one opinion, right? Because if you assume it's Tumah, you're in the Shidate Val Midal, you're protected from the Tumah, right? It's Chotze, it's Bifnei Tumah. But Mar Savar, Ohel Zaruk Shmei Ohel, Umar Savar Lo Shmei Ohel. What's the issue here? This isn't a regular Ohel that would be chotzeis mipnei atumah. This is called an ohel zaruk. It's a movable tent. You're being carried through in this Shidate Val Midal. So therefore, what's the issue here? That if it's a movable ohel, it's not chotzeis mipnei atumah, and that's the machloket between them. So really, it's a tumah issue, right? The issue is mishum gusha, right? Tumah. Okay, it's a tumah and tara issue. The issue is this ohel zaruk ohel, or is it not ohel? Okay, so if it's not an ohel, then you're going to be tameh, right? So that's going to be Rebbe's opinion. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, who's mitayer, is going to say it is an ohel. Okay, so now, just to preface for the next section, okay, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda holds that an ohel zaruk is considered an ohel, and it is chotzeitz b'fnei atumah. So now they're going to ask a question on that. I'm going to just preface it by saying there's a different way of reading this. This is actually a proof and not it's a whole different reading. I'm going to stick with one reading. Vahatanya, because vahatanya is a word that could mean itself and its opposite. Okay, vahatanya can mean, it means, and hare, and behold, we learn in a braita. So behold, we learn in a braita could be saying, and it goes against what you're saying. And most cases in Shas, it does, it is brought as a contradiction. But there's many times, okay, not just here and there, but there's many times where, again, I would say probably, you know, maybe 73, I don't know, but there's a much higher percentage where it means a question. Sometimes a hatanya comes as a proof. It says, and yet it's, right, and behold, it says in a braita exactly that. Okay, but we're going to read it as if it's a contradiction. Vahatanya, if you, by the way, the response to this is going to have a different girsa. If you say that there's going to be a response, which you're going to have to change a word if you're going to say that it's a proof, rather than, because what there's going to be is a question and then an answer. So in the other case, it's going to be a proof and then a reject, and then a bit of a rejection of the proof or a different way of reading it. Okay, Vahatanya, it says in a braita, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Huda Omer, Teva Shehi Milea kelim v'zarka al pnei amet be'ohel tme'a v'imaita munachat tehora. So what do you see here? If you take this teva and it's full of kelim, and you, now again, there's a few different readings of how, what exactly this case is, but again, I'm going to explain one way. You carry this teva that's full of kelim, just like you carry the person, right? You carry the teva that's full of kelim, and it passed over a dead body. So now, what does it say here? It's tme'ah, right? Because ohel zaruk is lo shmei ohel, right? If it was munachat and it's not an ohel zaruk and it's over a dead body, then it's tehora. Because the teva is chotzeis b'fnei atumah and all the kelim that are inside do not become tame. But if it was moving across and it passed over, right? Imagine two people carrying a trunk, right? Full of stuff. Right, so they found a treasure chest, right, full of stuff, right? So they carry the treasure chest full of all the stuff, and it goes over a dead body. So the stuff inside the chest is not going to be makabel tumah according to this. Why? Because it's an ohel zaruk. And what do you have to say then? An ohel zaruk is not an ohel, right? Because it becomes tameh. It doesn't work. So now, what do you see here? This is Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, which makes it sound like ohel zaruk is not ohel. And we just said that Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda would say that ohel zaruk is ohel. So therefore, they say, according to this, now they say Ella, right? So therefore, it can't be, and it must be something else. Now, in the other reading, which understands this case differently and views it as a support, instead of saying Ella, it would now say Ibait Ema. We'll give a second option then. In other words, this is one way of reading it, and we gave a proof, and now we're having a second possible way of understanding the machloket, okay? So the first way of understanding the machloket, just to be misakim, we tried to say it's a machloket anima vira gusha. Now we say, no. We can read the sugya that everybody thinks it's gusha, and it's a machloket, but all zaruk is all or all zaruk isn't all. But we reject it because of this problem, again, according to our reading. Ela dekule alma mishum avira. So let's read it the other way. Everybody agrees that it's the air, meaning it's not a tumah issue. It was a deterrent to go to Eretz Yisrael, leave Eretz Yisrael. And it's all mishum avira. Umar savar, kevan de lo shchicha, lo gazru be rabbanan. Umar savar, af agav de lo shchicha, gazru be rabbanan. We have this whole concept in general. Remember, this is all a gezerah of chachamim, Eretz Ha'amim. So in a case where it's so not common that this would happen, so therefore we say, chachamim didn't apply their gezerah. That's one opinion. So if you're going to say that hanachlas Eretz Ha'amim b'shidat teva amigdal Rebbe, so let's do Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. He's mitaher. Why is he mitaher? Because he says, this is not a case that shachiach, the gezerah of chachamim does not apply to a case that's so rare. Remember, we said before, who gets carried through chutz laaretz in a tevah shida or migdal? So therefore, he says that, whereas Rebbe, who's mitame, would say no, even though it's not shachiach, they were gozer. So now they say, wait a minute, the hatanya, don't we have this source? This hatanya is a proof. They say, the hatanya, hanichnas le'eretz ha'amim b'shiva tevah migdal tahor, Bikaronu bisfinau bis iskaria tamei. What do you see here? If you come, this exactly proves it. If you come through in a shida teva umigdal, then it's going to be tahor, because that is not a rare. That's a very rare case. But if you come in a karon, in a wagon, or a sfina, or a boat, or an iskaria, which is a big boat or
ship with masts.
A ship with masts, okay? You come that way, which is obviously a very typical way in their day that people would come into chutz laaretz, then you're tamei, okay? So that must be. So now we have the second option, which is everyone agrees it's mishum avira. They weren't gozer in the shidat teva migdal, but they would be gozer in all the other cases, okay? The typical manners, the sfina, the karon, iskaria. V'ibayit ema, maybe you would say that hacha shema yotzi roshov urubo l'sham plige. So maybe you would say that the issue is that we're worried you'll stick your head out or most of your body out, which again would apply in which case. Okay, so now there's again some different ways of reading this. Is this coming to give a different explanation on this brayta between the shidat teva umigdal and the karon and the sfina? In other words, in a karon, maybe you'd stick your head out and most of your body out and you become tameh. And that's why we were in Vatame. Not because, actually, if you're in the Karom, or the Sfina, or the Iskariah, then you're really not Vatame. Okay? There is no, right? Maybe it is, and as we're going back to the explanation, that it's not Mishum Avira, it's Mishum Gusha. And then, what are we going to say? There's real Tuma. But why are we only gozer in those cases and not the Shidat Teva Migdal? Because if you're in a box that's closed and you're being carried through, well, you're certainly not going to be carried through. You're certainly not going to accidentally poke out your head and most of your body and become actually tamei.
If you only poke out a little bit, you're not.
Right. I was thinking about that. So I don't know. It seems that way. It seems only if you took out... Right. I don't know why if you wouldn't just take out your hand. Maybe... Right. It seems that that's the case. I don't know enough about it. I guess in order to become tamei, you'd have to be, maybe most of your body needs to be...
In the ohel.
Yeah.
But there was this whole discussion about
if you just put your hand in, but that's in ohel. That's not in... That was if you're in a tent.
Right.
This is if you're just going on over it. Maybe it's a different halacha. Because there the whole... I don't know enough about it. It's a good question. So then they say... So maybe that's their machloket. One of them thinks, right, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, who's mitahar, thinks we're not worried, Shema Yossi Rosh Ovrubo. And, so again, there's two ways of reading this. Is it Mishum Gusha, or is it Mishum, either you say that's the difference between the Shidat Teva Migdal and the Karon Sfina Iskariah, and it has nothing to do with the Shachiach or Lo Shachiach, okay? And then they say, V'ha Tanya, Rabbi, or we're saying that that's really the basis. There's a different basis for the machloka between Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, and Chachamim. Let's read it that way because I think it works a little better that way. Which is that maybe the machloka tana'im between them is, are we worried that if you're in a little different from what I said before, are you worried that if you're in a shida teva umidah that maybe you'll yotzi rosho v'rubo? Or are we not worried? And that's the machloka between them. So then they say, V'ha tanya, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, ha'nechnas le'eretz ha'amin b'shidat teva umidal tahor, Ad sheyotzei l'sham rosho orubo. And this also, the Hatanya here, is a proof. It's saying, look, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Dafka brings up this issue. What does he say? You're not tahor, you're not tameh, unless you actually are yotzei rosho orubo, which means that why does he think in general you're tahor? Because we're not worried, shema yotzei rosho orubo, and the only case where you would be is if yotzei. So what do they say? They say, oh, you see that that whole issue comes up in the context of this machloket, so it must be that he's not worried about that. He says, only if you actually do it. Whereas Rebbe, who's mitame, says, even if you're not actually, we're worried that maybe you will, and therefore they made this gzera. Okay, so all different possibilities. Is it mishum gusha? Is it mishum avira? And even if you say it's mishum gusha, so what's the machloket? Is it, are we worried about it because it's shachiach or not shachiach? Or is it that we're worried that shema yotzei rosho orubo? Okay, now we're moving on. Matchil umoneh. Okay, now we're going to say, remember the all these cases, what happens? Matchil umoneh miyad, right? So these make you tamei, right? In other words, you have this type of tumah. You don't have to be megaleach, right? But you stop your count, and then you start counting as soon as you're done. So as soon as you become tahor. So Amar Rav Chista, lo shanu ela benezirut mu'etet, aba benezirut meruba mislak nami salkinle. Okay, so what does he say? This is only, what's a nezirut mu'etet? Okay, at this point we're going to assume, what's nezirut mu'etet? 30 days, right? The minimum. The minimum shear of nezirut is 30 days. So this is only, now really what we're getting to is the tzara'at issue. So when you're at mitzora, what happens? Right? Until now, what have we said? You don't count the days that you're a mitzora, right? And then you immediately, you keep up with what you were up to as soon as it's over. So what does he say? It's only benezirut mu'etet, okay? Let's say you do 10 days, okay? And then those days count for his minyan, right? But then, one second, benezirut meruba, if he had more days, then mislak nami salkinle. Then the days can still count for him. Because what's the issue? What? Right. You have to have 30 days worth to shave with. So now, just one second. Right. So the whole issue is that if you only have 30 day, one second. Right, so if he has a nezirut mu'etet, he'd need another 30 days of hair growth after he shaves. But a nezirut meruba, since he has a lot of days left, so not only do they not cancel his nezirut, but they also count for the minyan of his nezirut. He doesn't even need to stop his count. Like, let's say you took nezirut of me'ayom, okay, 100 days, and you're a nazir, and on day number 40, let's say, you become a mitzora, so you don't even need to, you know, you can just keep counting. You can count all the days you're a mitzora as part of your days. That's what he says right now. I'm going to have a question on this. Mativ Rav Shrevya, matchilu moneh miyad, ve'ein mevatel behen et hakodmim. So then it says, pay note to the words in the Mishnah here, right? Motchil umoneh miyad, and it doesn't cancel out the earlier days. B'mayin, what could this be? Ilema benezirut mu'etet kabai gidol se'ar. It doesn't make sense what you said. Because what does the Mishnah say? It doesn't cancel the earlier ones. If you're talking, Rav Chista, about nezirut mu'etet, 30 days, it actually, in effect, does cancel them because you need a 30-day hair growth. So you're basically going to have to start counting from the beginning. So how could you possibly say it's time about nezirut mu'etet? If you counted 10 days, and then you became a mitzora for 7 days. So let's assume you don't count those 7 days. So you're supposed to start from day number 11. But you can't start from day number 11 because you need 30 days. So how could you possibly say that's what the Mishnah is talking about? Elala b'nezirut meruba. It must be talking about nezirut meruba. B'katane matchil umoneh miyad, which seems to imply, you seem to say nezirut meruba, you get up to day 40, you're allowed to count all the days of your tzara'at, it doesn't even, you don't even have to stop. That's what Rav Chista said. He said, how could that possibly be? Because the only case the Mishnah could be talking about must be a nezirut meruba case. And therefore, and it says, matchil umoneh miyad, which means you're only matchil umoneh, right, from the day that you finish, meaning you would count to day 40, then 40 to 47 would be your mitzora days. On day number 48, you'd start counting, right? From, or really day number 47, right? We said on the seventh day already, you can start counting. Day number 47, you'd start again from 41. It would be 41 instead of 48. So now, or 47. So now, what do we say? Hu motiv lava hu mefarek la. He asked the question, and now he's going to answer it up. B'nezirut bat chamishim yom. It's talking about a nezirut of 50 days. Okay, it's not a nezirut merubah like 100 days. A nezirut merubah is all relative. I'm sorry, nezirut mu'etet is relative. There's nezirut merubah, which is many, many, many days. And then there's nezirut mu'etet of 30 days. It's not either of those. Right? When he says nezirut mu'etet, he doesn't mean nezirut mu'etet of 30 days. He means nezirut mu'etet of 50 days. Okay, which means to yativ esrim. Let's say you have a 50-day nezirut and you already sat 20 days. V'yalda beit sarad, and then he gets sarad on day number 20. Migalech tzara'ato, he does the giluach beit sarad. V'hadar yativ talten yoma denazir, and then he has to wait another 30 days after his tiglachat. In that case, would be the case where he doesn't cancel out his earlier days, and yet he can't count his mitzora days, okay, which would mean that if it were 100 days, or even if it were 50 days, but he was mitame on day number 10, let's say, then the 7 days of mitzora can actually count in the count, according to this. In other words, the mitzora days not counting in the count, according to this, is only in the case where it gets in the way of the fact that he won't have 30 days in the end, okay, which is, I think, different than the way we understood it in the past. So that's what Rav Chista is saying. Okay. Deha'id le gidul se'ar, because he needs the gidul se'ar. Okay. So, now, Rami Bar Chama asks a question on this. Okay. Now, in order to understand this, you can open the Tanachim, okay, to see what the Mitzorah does. Okay. We mentioned this the other day, but I want to see it inside. About, if you look at Perek Yudalet of Parshat Mitzorah, Vayidaber Shama Moshe Limur, Zot Tia Torat Mitzorah B'Yom Taharato. Okay. And the day he becomes Tahor, this is what he does. V'huval ha-kohen. Okay, you're looking at the nazir. I want to look at the mitzvah. So,
okay, fine.
Okay. So he gets brought to the kohen. V'yatzah, there's another tanakh if you want there. V'yatzah kohen mi'chutz la-machaneh. Okay, the kohen goes mi'chutz la-machaneh because that's where the mitzvah is. He can't go into the machaneh. V'ra'ah kohen v'hinei nirpa nega ha-tzara'at min ha-tzara'a. He sees that the guy is cured. Okay. V'tzivah kohen v'lakach la-miteher shtei tziporim chayot tehorot. He brings two live birds, tehorot. V'eitz erez u'shni v'tolat be'ezov. V'tzivah kohen v'shachat et ha-tzipor ha-chal o'kli cheres al-mayim chayim. So he shechts one of the birds into this kli cheres, which has mayim chayim in it. Et ha-tzipor ha-chaya yikach otah, v'eitz erez v'tshni ha-tolat et ha-ezov, v'tavah otam, v'et ha-tzipor ha-chaya b'dam ha-tzipor ha-shchuta, al ha-mayim ha-chayim. So he dips the bird, the live bird, into the blood of the other bird with the mayim, that's with the mayim chayim. V'hiza ala mitaher min ha-tzara'at sheva pamim. And he sprinkles from this mixture onto the person who had the tzara'at 7 times. V'tiaro, and he's mitaroto. V'shilachat ha-tzibur ha-chayal p'nei ha-sadeh. He lets the live bird go. V'chibes ha-mitaher et begadav. V'gilach et kol sa'aro. V'rachatz v'mayim v'taher v'achar yavo ala machaneh. Okay, so now this whole process happens, right? So this is after in other words, what happened here? He waited 7 days till he got to the Kohen, right? And the Kohen says, okay, you're pure. And then he does this whole process, and then he shaves. Okay, that's the first shaving. So he has to wait 7 days after becoming a Mitzorah Mukhlat, right? Where it's clear he's a Mitzorah. He has to wait those 7 days for a Tiglachat. Then, so it says, V'gilachat kol saro, v'rachatz b'mayim b'teher. He goes in the mikvah, v'achar yavo ala machaneh. Now he can already come into the machaneh, but not yet enough. V'yashav michutz lo alo shivat yamin. He still can't go into his ohel. V'ayah b'yom ha-shvi'i, yigalech et kol saro, et rosho v'et zkano, remember this pasuk, v'et gabot eina, v'et kol saro yigalech, v'chibes b'gadav, v'rachatz b'saro b'mayim b'teher. Then, after waiting an additional 7 days, he now does a second shaving. Okay, so what's important here to remember is he does two shavings. One he has to wait 7 days for, and then he has to wait another 7 days for the second one. And then, ubayom ha-shmini, yikach shnei kvasim tmimim, kibsah achat bet shnatat tmima, u'shlasha asronim sot mecha v'lula v'shem, v'lo kcha v'shemet, and he brings these korbanot, okay, etc. Fine, we're going to stop here. So now, Rami Bar Chama is going to ask a question from a Braita. Sorry, it's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that appears on Nun Tet, Bet, I believe. Okay, this is a Mishnah on Nun Tet, Amud Bet, which says that a Nazir, Shehu Tamei B'Safek U'Mukhlat B'Safek. If you have a Nazir, did you learn this, Rosh Hashanah? Okay. You have a Nazir that's a Safek Tamei Mate and a Safek Mitzora. Okay, so he's a Nazir, but he has Sfekot on his head. Whether he's a Mitzora, whether he's a Tamei Mate. Ochel B'Kodashim La'achar Shishim Yom. He can't eat Kodashim till 60 days. Okay, how does this work? Because what happens? He has to wait. Okay, I didn't get through this 100% perfectly, so I have to remember this. He is Safek Mitzora, and the Mitzora can't, let's say he's Safek Mitzora, so he's supposed to shave after 7 days, right? But what's the issue? Maybe he's a Nazir. He is a Nazir, and maybe he's not a Mitzora. So if he's a Nazir who's not a Mitzora, he can't shave. So the Mitzora has to shave twice. So how often can the Nazir shave if he needs to? Every 30 days. He can, right? So the first, he waits for the first shaving 30 days instead of the traditional 7 because he maybe isn't a Mitzora, in which case he's a Nazir and he can't shave. So he waits the 30 days for that. And then the second shaving, he has to wait an additional 30 days because maybe, right, if he was a Mitzora, then he still has to do his Nazirut.
Except
but if he isn't a Mitzora,
he delays the shaving for the Mitzora. Doesn't that also violate the Mitzora process?
Well, since he's only Safek, so he can at least wait. He can wait. There's no, it's a bitul ase, but it's not like, in other words, he's just pushing it off. There's no din that says, if you didn't do it that day, something's going to happen. Okay. He has no choice here. He's stuck. So therefore, only after the second 60 days is he allowed to eat kodshim. Is he considered tahor of Mitzora? In other words, a Mitzora can't eat kodshim.
But it's also fake of a Nazir, Tame.
Right.
Then he waits another
30. Right. So now we have the issue of the Nazir Tame. So v'shote yayin u'metame l'meitim l'achar me'a ve'esrim yom. Okay, so now why does this work? Because then, if he was really the Mitzora, so he has the two things. Now, if he was a Nazir Tamei Mate, so he needs to do the... That's again, since he's only Safek, and let's assume now, let's say he got rid of the Safek of the Mitzora, so now he's at day number 60. Now, he doesn't know if he's Tamei Mate or not. So again, he can't shave Mi Safek, so he has to wait the 30 days, the first 30 days, and the zero Mi Safek, maybe he was Tamei Mate. And then he has to wait another 30 days until he can finish his Nazirut b'tahara. Okay, so that's the Me'av Esrimim. V'tane ala b'med varim amurim. There's a braita on that which says, in which case are we talking about here? This is all b'Nazirut mu'etet. That's only if you're talking about that he took upon Nazirut of Shloshim Yom. Aval b'Nazirut bat shana, ochel b'kodashim l'char shtei shanim. And that's if his Nazirut was bat shana, so he has to wait. If he's a Safek Mitzora, but he doesn't know, maybe he's not a Mitzora, in which case he can't shave till the whole first year of Nazirut's over. So every time he wants to shave for the Mitzora, he has to wait an entire year, because otherwise he might be a Nazir for that entire year. So he has to wait 2 years. V'shote yayin u'metam l'meitim l'achar arba shanim. Why? Because year number two clicks in at this point. He's gotten rid of his two shavings of the Safek Mitzora. Now, maybe he's Safek Tamei Mate, but maybe he really is a Nazir. So he still has to wait out that entire year as a Safek, right? Maybe he was Tamei Lameh, but we don't, right? We have to assume that maybe he wasn't because he can't shave if he's really a Nazir. So he waits an entire year till the first Nazirut would end. Then he does all the Tumah stuff, and he's the Tiglachat Tum'ah. And then he waits another year to sit out his whole Nazirut. So that's 4 years. So now they say, V'isal kadatach, Salken leyome tiskele b'shalosh shanim u'shloshim yom. If you say that it's enough, okay. Right, what's the issue? If you say
that you can count
the days of the Mitzora for the days of the Nazirut as long as he'll still have 30 days left, right? So then it should be enough to have 3 years and 30 days. He shouldn't need a whole 4 years. Because if the Mitzora days can count as his Nazirut days, so then you finish the 2 years, but you've counted a whole year as a Mitzora, and all you need to finish up that year of Nazir Vada is just another 30 days before you can actually shave. So then it shouldn't be, right? So what you would have is like this. You would wait the first year as Sefek Mitzorah, right? Year one is Mitzorah before his Tiglach HaRishona. Year two is the Mitzorah for the Tiglach HaTshnia. Year three, you can't yet shave for the Tumah because you have to wait a whole year of Nizirut. But then, in the end, when you have... something doesn't make sense here. That's what it is. It's year three. In year three, before you can bring your Tiglach HaTumah, all you would need is 30 days. Because in essence, your Nizirut really went all the time of year two, let's say, was you were a Nazir. And in order to shave, you just need 30 days here. Okay? And then, what's the problem though? Then you became Tameh. At that point, you'd have to count a whole year. You'd need a whole full year. So that would take you into the first 30 days of year four, but not four full years. You follow? The 30 days would come in at the end of year two, beginning of year three. That's to, in order to do that first shaving, that maybe you were Tameh, would end up being at 2 years plus 30 days. Because the second year should have counted to your year of your Nizirut or any of the time before that. Right. If you say the Mitzorah would count, then you would only need another 30 days. And that's against Rav Chisda. Okay? So now, right, because remember, what did he say? This is very, just to be very clear. He said, until now, what did we think before Rav Chisda came along? That all the days that you're in Mitzorah don't count. But this guy, in other words, and that's what would be from here. It didn't count at all. So therefore, year three has to be an entire year of Nizirut. Then it get right. Then you'd have to say, well, except that it gets canceled at the end, and then you have to start all the way from the beginning. And this seems to imply that, versus Rav Chisda, who seems to say that that's not the case. The whole time of Mitzorah should actually count, in which case you should only need the extra 30 days for the hair growth, and that would be sufficient to do your Tiglach HaTumah. Okay, so that's his question on Rav Chisda, and we'll end here for today. Shabbat Shalom.